And he is that. He is that. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Again, I appreciate everybody being here this morning. I appreciate our graduates. And I have a little message here this morning I think will speak to all of us, and especially our graduates. But this is something I think all of us would take good heed to look at. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 33, a little later in the chapter there. Jesus is speaking. The triumphal entry has occurred. In other words, he's already gone into Jerusalem. It's the last week of his life. And, of course, he went in and he cleansed the temple a second time there. And of course, the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests are all saying, "What kind of authority do you have? You don't have any right to do this." And of course, he had talked about how, you know, my father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You made a den of thieves. And, you know, now who do you think you are? And they're having a hard time with that. And he comes to verse number 33, and he's trying to explain to them that they're the ones bucking authority. Do they think he's bucking authority? In verse 33, he says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another." Now, of course, he's talking about turning over the propagation of truth, so to speak, to the Jews. And, of course, Jesus being in heaven, God has given that, so he's in a far country. And so he sends prophets, he sends representatives, and the people that won't receive it, and they kill them. They knock them away. They destroy them. And so he says in verse 35, "The husband took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another." Verse 36, "And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son," speaking of Jesus himself, "saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance." Now, this is kind of crazy. You think about it. How did they think this was going to work? The householder is still alive. He's not going anywhere. So the fact is, killing the guy's son is not going to make him happy. I mean, they're just asking for trouble. Verse 39, "And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him." Again, speaking of Jesus, who was about ready to be crucified. "When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which will render him the fruits in their season. And Jesus saith unto them," listen to this, "did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected," speaking of Jesus, "the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, shattered, badly broken to pieces. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." In other words, to the point that it can be blown away. It's bad enough to fall on the stone, but if the stone falls on you, you're really in trouble. What he's saying there. Verse 45. "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard these parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet." People saw him as a prophet. If you want to turn real quick, I want to show you one other thing here. 1 Peter, toward the back of the Bible. We won't be in a lot of different verses today, but I'm going to show you a couple of things here at the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Way back in the back, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Actually, Brother Nathan is teaching Sunday school out of this passage, out of 1 Peter. And he said something a few weeks ago that it's one of those things that's kind of bang, it hit me. And I saw something I wanted to share with you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." In other words, he that puts his faith in him, entrusts in him, allows him to be his guide and his director, shall not be confounded, shall not be put to shame, shall not be embarrassed. He said, if you let this cornerstone lead you, guide you, direct you, base your life on this foundation of the cornerstone, you're not going to be confounded. You will not be embarrassed. You will end up doing right. You'll know it. Verse 7. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." In other words, if you believe, he's precious. It's a great value, worth a lot. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense." He says, if you refuse to believe that the cornerstone is who he says he is, you refuse to believe that Christ is the cornerstone, if you refuse to believe it and live by its dictates, if you will, the stone with the builders rejected, in other words, it's our choice, the builders reject, we don't have to reject them, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stumbling stone. In other words, and that word stumbling means to stub your toe on. You ever walk through the bedroom at night, you know, without the light, and you hit the bedpost or whatever else, you know, and break a toe or break a nail or whatever. That's really, it says it will be a stub. It will stub your toe. You're going to hit your shins, if you will. It will be a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. In other words, a snare to cause displeasure, to show what a fool we are, to scandalize us. "Even to them which stumble at," look at it, "the word." Those that trip over the word of God and can't seem to be able to work with it. Some people just can't, "I just can't get along with this book. I don't understand it. I don't understand where it's going. It has a whole lot of discrepancies and no, it doesn't. And I have you let the book say what it says. Now, if you don't want to let the book say what it says, you're going to come up with all kinds of problems, not only in understanding it, but in what you're going to do in life. He says, listen, he says, if to those who believe this cornerstone, it's precious. But those who are disobedient, becomes a stumbling stone. And they're stumbling at the word, whereunto also they were appointed. Let's pray. And I'm going to speak on this topic this morning. God's position in your life. God's position in your life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are in it. And Lord, this is a very important concept. This could be a life-changing concept. Just as Autumn was saying here a few moments ago, if we allow the Word of God to guide us and direct us, it will. But if we don't want to go along with it, it can be an awful fight. Lord, I want our folks to base their life on the Word of God, to have something settled in their hearts. We go out there and meet the world, whether we're doing it now just to getting out of high school and just getting started, or whether we've been out there for 50 years or more, may we stand on the cornerstone. Lord, give us your wisdom. We ask for you again for your spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Today is what we call graduation day around here. And it's the day that we celebrate the educational accomplishments of our family and our friends. And education, by the way, is not an end in and of itself. In fact, Knowledge alone, without the fear and the knowledge of God, can cause us great trouble. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Yet is that he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." You know, if you sometimes we think that, you know, we got education, I are educated. You know? I'm smarter than my teacher because pi is not squared, pi are round. But anyway, all those old jokes. But if we're not careful, we get puffed up, and all of a sudden we realize we don't know anything. In fact, the more I learn, the more I learn I don't know. If you think you know everything, you don't know anything. Now, the value of education comes as we apply our newly acquired knowledge. And that means that graduation from the educational program is really commencement into the application of the education. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you take the Lord out of your knowledge, what you're basically doing is taking the foundation out of the knowledge. And all of a sudden, we're going to be off on some crazy tangent. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." In other words, if you have knowledge of all the world and are void of the knowledge of God, you're still a fool and have not even begun to have true knowledge and wisdom. Whether you are one of those graduating from a particular educational process and heading toward an application of that knowledge, or if you have been facing the opposition of this world for some time, I have a word of instruction. Fear God and keep His commandments. You might as well. God designed this world. God has set up how it works, and God is not going anywhere. So you might as well accept it and get used to it and live by it. He's there. He's not moving. We might as well go ahead and work with Him. Let me give you number one here. I've got several statements. They're not all nicely alliterated or anything, but let me give you number one. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Brian, would you help me here a second? I got here a little illustration. Bear with me here. Watch your back. Oh my God. All right. Put this side down first. All right. Thank you. That's the cornerstone. Some of you can't see that over there, but I wanted it up here because I wanted you to see this is the cornerstone. Now listen, a cornerstone, watch me, is a foundational stone. It's foundational. It's the bottom. The cornerstone, listen, all other construction is referenced from the cornerstone. When they were building a building, they would start with a huge stone. I remember when my mom and dad restored their old barn down there where my mom still lives. They had he kind of moves a few walls, but it was old stone foundation, stone walls. And he wanted to move it around a few things, and so he moved a couple pillars out. It had been an old barn. He was making a car garage out of it, you know, so he needed a little wider. So I remember he knocked out a couple of those pillars, and underneath them were huge old stones. I mean, he got them out of the field. It was just stones, but big old flat stones. It wasn't any poured footers or anything, just these big old stones. And so they start with a stone. Now watch. The cornerstone sets the boundaries. Let me say it this way. The cornerstone sets the level. You want to make sure that cornerstone is level, because everything is going to be built on the cornerstone. You don't move the cornerstone. The cornerstone's there. Everything is referenced to the cornerstone. So it sets the level. It sets plumb. You know what plumb is? Right? Straight up. All right, so it sets the plumb. So you square that thing. They were very, very meticulous about making sure the cornerstone was square, straight, point. It sets level, it sets plumb. It is the reference point. The cornerstone, watch, is the guide to everything else. All the other decisions, that's where the corner is going to be. It's not moving. That's the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone is unmovable. It must be. Otherwise, all the reference points would not remain valid. You see what I'm saying? The cornerstone can't move. Okay, all right. You look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Or maybe you say, well, this is really stupid here, Pastor. We all know this stuff. Well, hang on to it. Okay, the cornerstone won't move. The cornerstone cannot be moved away once we build. You don't take the cornerstone back out. It will be there all along. It will never be gone. It will always be. There's not a thing you can do about it. That's the cornerstone. You start taking the cornerstone, the whole corner of the other building is going to fall out. The cornerstone is not removed after the rest of the structure is constructed. The structure would fall. All future repairs on the building will be in accordance with the cornerstone. You say, well, how's that? This is where we start. This is where everything is off of that. It's the cornerstone. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Number two, this cornerstone was laid by God. The cornerstone was laid by God. What God does is without repentance. He doesn't go back and change it. The cornerstone was laid before the foundation of the world was laid. What God does will stay done. It will not change. You can't, listen, you can fight the cornerstone if you want, but it's not going anywhere. To fight or work against the cornerstone is to fight God himself. Now here's the thing, I don't want that there. So, too bad. But I really want it 10 foot. Listen, the cornerstone is laid. It's done. God has laid the cornerstone. It's not going anywhere. This is the way it works. This is where plumb is. This is where level is. You say, well, when we built a house down in Maryland, when they laid out the house, they laid it according to the plat. Where they had actually gone through, the county had gone through and decided if they ever widened the road, this is where it was going to be. But the old road that was there was kind of went catty-cornered through that spot. So when they laid out our house, they laid it out according to where it was going to be and not according to the road where it is right now. And I remember someone saying, oh, you live in that house that looks, that's kind of crooked on the lot. Well, thanks a lot. We live in the crooked house. But that was already, so they laid it out like this. The problem is they never did change that road. So our house looks like it's crooked on the house looks like it's crooked on the road. It sits in the woods, it's nice anyway. But anyway, it was not where it wanted to be. It makes no difference. We're not gonna be able to twist that house now. Let's go back and change. No, it's laid, it's not changing, it's all done. Let me give you a third statement. This is a long one, you probably won't write all this down, but number three. The cornerstone is either a cornerstone that guides us and supports us, or it is a stumbling stone that is working against us. I remember seeing this passage, and all of a sudden it just kind of lit up in my mind here. The cornerstone is either a cornerstone that guides us and supports us, and we go along with it, or the cornerstone is a stumbling stone, and it's working against us because it's not where we want it to be. If we accept the existence and the position of the cornerstone, it becomes our guide and our help. It is what we reference all our other decisions from. You understand? Everything in life, there's a lot of decisions in life that are tough to make. The problem is they're not, my wife's been a teacher for years, and some kids always say, well, this is hard. So it was only hard if you don't know the answers. Right? The questions on the test are only hard if you don't know the answers. If you know the answers, it's easy. We got a book of answers. But if I choose not to yet let that be my answer, then I've got to go back and reinvent it all by myself. And we wonder why we're having trouble in life. You say, well, I don't know the answers. The answers are already written down. There's a lot of decisions in life that are already settled if we'll let Jesus Christ be the cornerstone. But if we won't let him be the cornerstone, all he is in the way. He's a stumbling block. Listen, we will be able to build well upon this firm foundation. But if we reject the cornerstone, which God has put in place, it will always be in the way because it's not going to be moving. If we do not go along with the cornerstone, it will end up being a stumbling stone. It will be in the way. It will be where we wanted something else to be. Something else is supposed to fulfill that spot in my life. Well, something else is supposed to fill that time in my life. It will be in a way. It will be where we want something else. It never fits into the plan. You know, it's like the white elephant in the middle of the room. It's just, you know, there it is. Nobody knows what to do with it. It's just there. Well, that's because we haven't allowed it to be what God has made it to be. You know what we try to do? Well, let's just evade it. Let's just pretend it's not there. Well, let's try to work around it. And we could try to cover it up. And we could try to build it over and build around it as if it's not there. Some people want to pretend the cornerstone's not there. And you know what they end up doing? Hitting their shins. Stubbing their toe. They go through life with bumps and bruises. Sometimes they're falling over the thing. About two weeks ago, I stopped at McDonald's got lunch, and it was the one down here on 30, and it kind of sits there in the hill. It's kind of funny where that, I've never been in that one there, but there's some steps up the front. You park out there along 30, you come up, and they have these long, I hate these long steps. You know those long, you know how they make those long, they're only this high, but they're this long, you know, and you got to go, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You get not enough to have, so you're trying to do this, you know, and so I was going up the step, and I was thinking about something else, and I don't know what happened. I hit my shoe. I had a pair of loafers on there, and I hit the thing, and my shoe fell off, and I went down on the concrete. I was in my nice suit, you know, and this lady said, "You all right, sir?" You know, and she, like a little old man. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm right. You know, my feelings were hurt. You know, my pride was hurt, but I was okay. That's the way we think that God is the odd one out. We think he doesn't fit the norm. He's the one that doesn't fit the pattern. He's the one that doesn't go along with the normal routine of life. He's not in step with us. Huh? And all of a sudden the cornerstone becomes a problem because we wouldn't recognize it as the cornerstone. We've got our own plans. We've got things to do. I'm checking my email trying to go up the steps. I got stuff to do. Instead of allowing the steps, they were concrete. They weren't going anywhere. They will always be there. They're not going anywhere. Listen, some cannot deny the cornerstone's existence, but they refuse to be subject to it. They stumble over it. They feel frustrated because it's always in the way. And they can't accomplish their plan. They try to reason its existence away. We need to go along with the plan and the cornerstone that the cornerstone dictates. Listen, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The world has been trying to figure out all these things. And you know, it's interesting. Janet and I was watching PBS on Nova, and they were showing these things from outer space and this and that and other thing. And they said, you know, there's an energy out there. They call it black energy. We don't know what it is, but it's just everywhere. And we thought that the gravitational pull was going to make everything go out and turn around and come back. It's not doing that. He says, the universe is expanding and it's picking up speed. How can it be doing that? And if you've heard about the whatever, I don't know what they call it, but it's like there's this, I don't even know what to even call it, but it's something that said that it holds all the matter together. They don't know what it is. Well, see, the cornerstone created all things, by him all things consist. He's put all this together, whether we understand it or not. You see, we want to step aside, because billions and billions and billions of years ago, there was this little thing the size of an end of a pin, and it blew up, and here we are. And that God thing keeps messing it all up. We've got this all figured out. Just take that God out of there. We can do it. We can keep it all worked out. Let me give you a fourth statement. The determining factor as whether the cornerstone is a blessing or a curse is whether we surrender and yield and decide to be subject to the cornerstone and allow it to dictate where we go from here, what we do, and stop trying to ignore it and working around it. You might as well just give in to it, because he's not going anywhere. Listen, you're going to knock your shins to pieces. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to fall over this thing and break your neck if you don't worry, because, listen, we're pretending it's not there. In fact, listen, if I fall over it, I'm going to get myself hurt. But wait a minute. There's going to come a day when there's going to be a rock pulled out of the mountain that's cut out without hands, and it's going to crush this earth. And when he crushes the earth, we'll be ground to powder. In other words, we'll be nothing. Now, wait a minute. You can say, well, I wish that means I'll just be annihilated. No, 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 no. No, no. You think that hurt. I'll tell you what's going to hurt. When we reject the Lord Jesus Christ and we find ourselves in a place where he's not. Ephesians 2:19 says this. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye are also built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We got Jesus Christ. We got the ones who have gone before us. And then we build our lives on this. And if your life's not making sense, my guess is you're not building on a cornerstone. You decide, I'm going to build over here because I got something else that I want to put up. I've got a different design. I've got something better. I've got something else to do. You're struggling with where it is. You haven't decided that the cornerstone is the cornerstone. First Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We got to decide that he's the one. Now, let me give you a little bit of application. Oh, we're doing well. Roast might not burn today. We either need to work with the cornerstone, or we were going to be stumbling through the rest of our lives trying to get around it. Not just right now. I'm talking the rest of our lives. You seen that preacher? Breaks your heart. Listen, there are some folks I have had in my office. I've been in ministry for 30 years. There are people that I've had in my office, and I've counseled them, and then they'll come right back in a week and a half later and tell them the exact same thing, and I tell them exactly the same thing. Yeah, but you see. Well, I appreciate it, preacher. Okay, I'm good. A month later, come back in. They're going to tell them exactly the same thing, and I'm going to tell them. I said, I don't think anything else will tell you. I mean, life is not that difficult. The problem is you won't let the cornerstone be the cornerstone. This is the reference for our life. This is where we make our decisions. I mean, this is real stuff. This is not just an historical book of antiquities that we throw around because it has nice poetry or whatever it is. This is not Homer and the Odyssey. This is the Word of God. It's eternal. This is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now we are to live by the Word of God. Every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is the cornerstone of our life. And if we won't get it, if we don't get that right, we're going to have a trouble. Listen, God is God. God is not changing. God already established His position in this creation. And God has already established the rules of creation. And God has established truth. And you're not going to be able to change Him or His position. You're going to have to live with it. You can try to ignore God and the unchanging truths of God's Word, but it will always be there. You could, if you pretend it's not there, you're going to fall over it. If you think you can sidestep it and work around it, it will somehow always be in your way, and you will think it is keeping you from accomplishing your goals in life. If you go along with it, somehow it makes life work, even when it doesn't make sense. Next statement. The cornerstone brings comfort. Oh, sorry. The cornerstone either brings comfort and encouragement and success, or it brings hurt and frustration. The cornerstone is either a help by being our guide or a problem because it's contrary to what we want to be and what we are. The cornerstone can either be an asset or a detriment. We can either go along with what the cornerstone dictates, or we can spend our lives fighting the immovable object, God. If we go along with the cornerstone, we will find a cornerstone's always there when we need it because it's immovable and unchanging. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't change. That's if you are willing to go along with the cornerstone. It's a wonderful thing. I've said this before. You know, folks, I always tell our young folks, get married to the right one. Because once you're chained to another person, if it's the right person, it's like being locked in a candy store. If it's the wrong person, it's like being locked in prison. Now, I'm not saying God can't do a lot of things. And if you feel like you're in the prison, listen, God can do great things. You give it back to Him. But marry somebody you like. But the cornerstone, the difference is, are we going with it? Are we trying to go against it? If we refuse to accept the cornerstone, we will find that it is still unmovable, but it's just in the way. If you're willing to accept the cornerstone, you will be glad it's there. I got one last little thought here I want you to hear. That's right, believe it or not. Philippians 4:4 says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You catch that? If I decide to build my life on the cornerstone, I decide to go ahead and go along with the dictates. Yes, the dictates of God's Word. This is how it works. Listen, you may not like it, you may not understand it, but this is just the way it is. If I will go along with the dictates, then the joy of my life is always there. I can rejoice in the Lord always. Well, what am I going to do? I don't know. Let's see what the cornerstone dictates for me to do at this point. And the fact is, it says, let your moderation, your self-control, your even keel. You're not, oh, my soul, what are we going to do? I'm panic attack. I'm not making fun of folks have that. I'm just saying, we get like that. You don't have to have that. It says, let your moderation be known. You know why? Cornerstone's laying right here. Well, how are we going to measure? What's our reference point? Where are we going to go from here? How do we build from here? Well, let's go to the cornerstone. It tells you what's level. It tells you what's right. tells you where to start. It's not going to go anywhere. This is our rock, our fortress. The cornerstone is always right there to guide and direct us and be our sure foundation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be worried. Don't be full of care about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what that means? Check in with the cornerstone. What are we going to do? I don't know. Just measure it off the cornerstone. We're going to go. I mean, if God says go this far, then we're going to go. This is where we're going to go. We're going to measure off the cornerstone. We're going to go up from the cornerstone. Ask of Him. Let your requests be made known. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't have to worry about it. I just got to go to work and make sure that I measure from the cornerstone. I just make sure that I get in the book and I know what the cornerstone is telling me what to do. What's the measurements of my life? What's the direction of my life? What's right? What's wrong? It's right there. So I got other problems. Listen, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things shall be added. As you commit your way unto Him, and your thoughts shall be established. Commit your work unto Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Well, I don't know what He's doing. Just let the cornerstone dictate. It's what God laid the stone. Now watch me. If you are unwilling to accept the cornerstone, it's going to be just a problem. Listen to me. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now ask yourself this question. In your heart. Now don't say in your heart what you think I want to hear. You read your own heart. The cornerstone. Do you rejoice because you see the Lord at hand? Or do you just see the Lord as being underfoot? You ever hear that phrase? Well, the kids were just underfoot all day. I've been tripping over them. I've been trying to walk around them. I've been here and there. I've just about fell down the steps because of it. And they're, you know, they're just underfoot. Some people think of God as being underfoot. It's something you have to put up with. It's just part of life. You know, you got this conflict here and there, back and forth. You know, you just got to deal with it, you know. I know what I want to do, but it seems like God's just always going against me. Then who's moving in the wrong direction? We'll say, well, when I go God's way, I feel like the devil's always fighting me. That's because you're going in a different direction from the devil. That's good. When you go against the devil, granted, you're bound to bump into him once in a while. But what do? You resist the devil, he'll flee. How do you resist? Steadfast in the faith. Just keep going. You know what? Listen, we go this way, and the devil comes going, you know? The thing is, he can't touch you unless God said so. And no more than God said so. And even then, it could be just because God's going to say, I want to teach you something. But you know, we go, oh, no, and we run away. All of a sudden, we're off the path. High behind a cornerstone. You can't beat that thing down. God laid that. It's immovable. It's not going anywhere. The Lord is right there with you. And that gives you peace if you're willing to see God as the cornerstone. If you're not willing to see Jesus as your cornerstone, then all He is an immovable rock that's always in your way. If you want peace and moderation, you will have to go along with the cornerstone because it's always at hand. If you want frustration and failure, try to work around the cornerstone because it will always be underfoot. If you want to see the Lord's blessing, experience His grace rather than His resistance, then humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let Him exalt you in due time. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. So the key, we're almost done. Believe it or not, we're almost done. The key is to surrender to the cornerstone. But I don't want it there. I don't like it there. I don't like what it tells me about me. I've got something else that I want to fill that spot in my life, and I don't want to put it there. It's surrender. Now, what is God's position in your life? The unchanging, immovable source of truth and guidance, our rock of refuge and help in time of need. Or is God just an unwanted bother in your life that always seems to be blocking your way and causing you to trip and fall? When you don't accept the Lord as your cornerstone, all you have is a stumbling block underfoot. And when you reject the cornerstone, you are also rejecting, watch me, you're rejecting the Lord's guidance, His direction, His blessing, and His love. I just feel like life is, I feel the earth move. I just feel the whole world is just falling apart. Nothing's steady. I don't know where I'm going. My whole life is just like, rumbling. Settle something. He's the cornerstone. Don't move. Do what He says. What is God's position in your life? He's either your cornerstone or He's a stumbling block. Father, again, we thank You for being with us this morning. Thank You for teaching us this truth. And Lord, I appreciate this made it very clear to me. I hope, Lord, it was a blessing to them. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question.